Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
As we look back on a spectacular round of Indigenous football.
Nichols gets a pass on the wall.
Tommy Talau, he's dropped it, it's picked up by Hiku, given it to Tohu Harris, and Harris goes over, and that, my friend, puts the Warriors now 10 points ahead of the Tigers. Orkiri on tackle 5 puts a kick in, it comes down, oh, Manu, he grabbed it out of midair, Manu grabs it and goes over, geez, a class act, Joey Manu.
Ponga puts in a kick, it's weak, it's taken by Pappenhausen, look out, he's away,
and he turns Ponga inside out, the race is on, it's Pappenhausen. Hauling him in now. It's Tuala. Tuala misses. Goodbye. Pappenhausen goes all the way.
What a wonderful round of rugby league. Beautifully called there by Dan Ganane and Anthony Maroon. Liam, Indigenous round was everything and more we'd hoped for.
Absolutely, absolutely spectacular. I know you want to touch on particularly the performance of the South Sydney Rabbitohs and those Indigenous players from the beginning of the round. That's coming up shortly. West Tigers, though, MG, we need to get real.
Yep.
We forewarned, or you forewarned, that they needed to cause some upsets.
Yes.
On their final run home. If
not
they want
to be upset.
If they not be upset, which is exactly what happened. So, West Tigers fans, in about 15 minutes' time, MG's pored over the list.
Yep.
And he's figured out exactly what you need. We're going to get to that in about 15 minutes. But up next, we are going to get to MG's good, bad and ugly of round 12. I want to get your take on that Sunshine Coast crowd, MG.
That features.
Okay. Coming up next, Rush Hour with MG, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Liam Flanagan here. Don't forget, when you hear that motorbike sound, that is your cue to call us on 133353. We've got passes to give away to the MX Dome. And West Tigers fans, we are going to dig deep into the problems your club has very, very shortly. But first, we need to talk about round 12 of footy by doing this.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, well, what a way to start Indigenous round on Thursday night, the Dragons and Rabbitohs. Look, the Rabbitohs, which have got a lot of players of Indigenous heritage, scored every point.
Sailor first receiver. Oh, no, cut out pass, and it's intercepted by Johnston. Johnston's going to get a hat-trick. It's all over. It's South Sydney's night, and the Rabbitohs have finished off the Dragons.
Johnston, 3 tries. Alex Johnston, that's 12 points. Cody Walker, 2 tries, 8 points. Latrell, a try and 4 goals. That's 12 points for a total of 32 points versus the Dragons, 24.
Outstanding. We spoke about it on Thursday, MJ. We said you just get the sense that Latrell Mitchell is going to have an impact on this game because it means so, and as it does all the Indigenous players, but... And it was amazing to see. Cody Walker was, I mean, that was his best game for the year.
Well, so that's what happens when you've got two dominant halves in a side. One of them goes off injured or the other, if the other's a good player, he takes over. And that's exactly what Cody Walker did. And Alex Johnston, I can't believe South's rushing out. Man, stay tuned, Tigers fan. Because if I was a Tiger, I'm gonna give him a hint. I would be signing Alex Johnston.
That's a pretty good hint.
That's my fullback.
All right, that was your good, MG. What about your bad?
Look, yesterday's footy at the Sunshine Coast. Watching it, I had to take a double took, a double check. I thought, am I? I looked at my bottle of water in my hand. I said, is this laced? Am I seeing crowds packed on that hill with like sardines? It just wasn't a good look. I know they've come out since and said that there was social distancing, but from where I was sitting, and that was at home in my lounge. It looked like they were packed in there like a tin of sardines, the crowd. And it just wasn't a good look given the current pandemic.
Yeah, the photo that's doing the rounds for anybody that didn't see it live, it just shows a packed hill. And
it's squeezed in.
Now, the Graham Annesley has come out from the NRL and said that the crowd in attendance and the hill itself were in line with the regulations that the Queensland Health and the Queensland Councils and the state government have put in place. So they didn't break any laws. which I guess is fine.
Just didn't look right. Just didn't look right.
And now they've come out and said that this weekend, because the Storm play the Dogs at that same ground this weekend, they've announced that no more tickets will be sold. There's a cap of 5,000 fans set for the venue. But I think it's I don't know. It obviously looked like a lovely day up there, MG. But they
no one's immune, are they? No one's immune. Like if it only takes one in that type of scenario, one person to have it. I just think when you've got to be safe, you've got to be safe, and at all costs. And
yep.
Anyway,
all right. That was your bad. And what about your ugly to finish it?
Well, the ugly is the brand of footy that three of our heavyweights played on the weekend to win games. Parramatta played ugly and won. The Roosters played ugly and won. And the Raiders played ugly and won. I don't mind that. Ugly wins is what separates the top teams from the bottom teams. If my team's winning and winning ugly, I don't care. As long as I'm getting 2 points. And they're arguably games that other teams might have lost, especially the Raiders up at North Queensland. Parra would have lost that game a couple of years ago. And the Roosters have been treading water for a bit, kind of waiting for Sonny Bill to come in and just inject something into the team, which he will. But at the moment, they're winning, and they're winning ugly. And if I'm a coach, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, reportedly, I read somewhere that Clint Gutherson, the captain of the Eels, asked his team if they wanted to sing the song in the sheds afterwards.
You got to sing it.
That was the feeling.
Well, I suppose when you don't score a point in the second half, you've got to give some credit to Steve Georgiou and the way he's coached this Bulldogs team because they were great. They were stoic. We've used that word a bit this year with the Warriors, but I think the Doggies have shown some kahunas.
Absolutely. All right, that was MG's good, bad and ugly for round 12. But speaking of ugly, the West Tigers...
That was a loss that could come back and really haunt them.
Absolutely, it could. But MG, you've done the hard work for them.
Yep.
West Tigers fans,
get your checkbook out.
Coaches, administrators, start taking notes because MG has figured out what you need to do, who you need to go after. And he's already told you one of the names, Alex Johnson. He'll tell you the rest of them up next. This is the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Liam Flanagan here. West Tigers fans, 133.53. We know you're coming off a disappointing 6-point loss to the Warriors that you definitely should have won.
Yep.
But we want to get your thoughts on your club. What do you think needs to be fixed? Because MG's taken a good, long, hard look at it, and he's got some thoughts he's going to share with us now. MG, first question. Is the Tigers season for 2020 over? Does that, we know how hard their run home is, but is that loss to the Warriors, does that rule them out?
No, I don't think so. I think they're at the crossroads, definitely. This weekend's game against the Newcastle Knights is almost a chips-all-in type of game. They've got to win it. They've got to get some momentum back in their jersey. You know, they've got to get some pride back in their jersey. They've got to show that Warriors loss was unacceptable. If you are a team who wants to play finals footy, that was a must-win. And as I said, the Knights this Saturday... It's a vital clash for both clubs, really, but more so the Tigers because they're sitting, you know, on 10 points in 10th position. So, let's take the positives of the Tigers before we get to the negatives. The future: Thomas McKayley, Luke Garner, Luciano Leilua, Sean Bloor, Tommy Talau, Luke Brooks, Adam Dewey. I think are the players they've got to start to build the club around. Obviously, Harry Grant is. You know, take Harry out of that team and, like, oh, gee whiz, where would they be without Harry? But the pressure is on. Luke Brooks in particular, he seems to be intimidated by whoever is playing outside of him. And that's not like the guy who was Dalian Rookie of the Year, Dalian Player of the Year at halfback. I just think at the moment he's playing with so much indecision that I think Major's got to pick and stick with him and just let him... You know, let him look what Nathan Cleary's doing at Penrith without James Maloney. And I think he's almost intimidated by what Benji Marshall brings to the team. I think so. Brooks has got to be in the side no matter what for mine. He's in the top 13 for the Tigers every day of the week.
Okay, so he has to be at 7.
And I don't know what's going with Moses Mbai in the centres. He's kind of in a position where he's almost turned into a number 14, Moses. Centres these days are all 6'4" and or like Braden Best, 6'4" wide, and he's just kind of out of position. I think Moses Mbai in the centres. You need look. I would have him as the 14. I know he's on big money, but that's not Madge McGuire's fault. You know, Packer, Reynolds, and Mbai are all on big money that was there before
Madge.
I'm not blaming any of this on Madge.
Well, just okay. While you mention the coach, we heard when he led the Bunnies to a premiership, and you know, he'll forever be a historical moment in that club's history. But we heard that he reached an expiry date with the players because of his methods, because of how hard he drives players. Has he reached that point already with the West Tigers?
Far from it.
Okay.
Far from it. Look, he's unearthed some talent. Sean Bloor, as I mentioned, this year. Tommy Talau. He's given them their first grey jerseys. And I think they're the future of this club if they're going forward. Luke Garner is a fantastic player. Luciano Leilua has just grown another leg. I've identified some players that I think would be fantastic at the Tigers. The first one would be Adam Elliott from the Doggies. Like, I don't know what his situation is at the moment, Adam Elliott, but I rate him as a player.
Mm.
I really do. Bailey Sirinen. His father played for the great club.
Mm.
One of the most improved forwards in the competition at the moment. I don't know what his contract is at the moment, but I'd be chasing him if I was the Tigers. And this hurts me to say this because he is from the Penny Panthers. I'd be after James Tarmow if I was the Tigers. You need that air of seniority and that air of respect that James Tarmow demands. And I think he'd be fantastic for those young forwards, i.e. the Blores, the McHaleys, the Garners coming through. Also, I think out wide they need... Look, if I want to put Alex Johnson, who I want to sign, if I want him to be my fullback, I want Adam Dewey to be my centre. That means Moses goes to the 14. That means I want to chase another centre whose name is Ewan Aiken.
Ooh.
From the Dragons.
Okay.
With the right coaching, he could be anything. He wasn't on the fringe of Origin a couple of years ago by fluke. You don't lose your form by fluke. You lose your drive, you lose your tenacity, and that's all got to do with your surroundings. So a change of scenery could be just what Ewan Aiken is after.
So what I'm hearing, MG, from the names you've just listed, is that the Tigers are lacking strike power in their backs, and this club needs to get busy in the off-season.
Yep.
If they want to stop just missing out on finals or, you know, just being a bit part player.
Well, they've got to. Someone like Jamin Salmon from the Eels could be a good 5'8". Jack Cogger from the Dogs could be a good 5'8". Someone who's not going to intimidate Luke Brooks. Luke Brooks has got to say, it's my team. Let's go. Let's play. Let's play footy. Because they've got the forward packs that can hold in the other team. Alloway as well. I missed him out. They've got some really good forwards.
And MG, one last question. What do they do if they lose Harry Grant back to the Storm?
Well, they will lose Harry Grant back to the Storm. So they've got a... Jacob Little might be back from injury by then. I think he's, you know, he's obviously the next in line before he got hit with the injury stick. Mm. So I think either him or Josh Reynolds would make it. I think Josh Reynolds is a number nine now.
Okay.
So, who knows? Even Moses could play number nine.
Oh, well, that's not... I don't mind that.
If Ben Hunt can play number nine and play at Origin like he does so well, why can't Moses be a number nine as well?
All these
little questions and that need answers from the Tigers fans, because I know they're getting frustrated at coming ninth. Well, guess what? You're below that now. You're tenth. So you need to win this game against the Knights this weekend.
No, MG, I like it. You've gone into the nitty-gritty of the West Tigers, and if, as I said, we know that Lee Hadjipateles and the power and then Justin Pascoe listen, so let's hope they were taking notes. This is the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M.
Call 1-3-3-5-3 now to win passes to MX Dome. And best sports show in Sydney. Triple M's Rush Hour with MG.
Gee, these Motor MX Dome tickets are popular, MG. Congrats to Maddie in Glenwood, who's won a pass for him and four mates to get along to Australia's first indoor motocross dome, which is open in Eastern Creek. MX Dome, from beginners to season riders, they've got you covered. Experience the dome factor. MXDome.com.au.
Yeah, well, the boards light up every time we have that sound effect.
How'd you go on two wheels, MG?
Well, I used to love motorbike riding. I used to go all the time every weekend. I used to have a YZ80, an RM80, and then as I was 15, 16, I started to have a bit of a go on a Yamaha Enduro 250 cross trail, and Dad said to me, well, you got to pick that or footy, because you can't do both. I said, why can't I do both? That? I love my motorbike riding.
So you used to secretly ride motorbikes?
No, I haven't been on a motorbike since I was 17.
Oh, maybe we need to get you out to MX Dome.
I'll be there.
In
for
fact,
sure.
It's settled. Actually, no, that means done. I'd have to get on one too.
No, I can ride one. I can just, you know, fish the water, baby.
I'm a coward.
I'll double you.
I've told you before, that doesn't make it better.
You can be my pillion passenger.
Hey, we got more rugby league. We got a
soccer.
We got more rugby league to talk about up next, including the Daily M hiccup of Nathan Cleary.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Liam Flanagan here. MG, we've already ticked off your good, bad and ugly from round 12 of the NRL. We've gone a real deep dive into the West Tigers. There are other issues we need to discuss from the weekend of footy, though.
Always is.
Let's talk about this man first.
Here it is with Cleary. Kicks for himself. Kicks for himself. And scores. I'd even excuse a little TikTok dance after that try.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a man in better form than Nathan Cleary.
He is purring.
Absolutely purring along.
He's the growth in the young bloke over the last 2 months has been profound. And Vossi mentioned the TikTok drama there, and he's always going to get that from people in the quarters. But the level of footy he's playing at now, you know, and then to see that, I know where we're heading with this about the Dally M points. I think even without them points, he's still going to win the Dally M.
Well, this is why we bring it up. The report in the Daily Telegraph today raises this exact issue that not only is Nathan Cleary, I believe he was on 11 points.
Yes, he was.
When the votes went behind closed doors, became secret.
Yep.
But what the NRL has admitted that they failed to do was deduct the 6 points that he was due to be deducted because of his 2-week suspension. So that's the ruling, is that he lost for the 2 games he was suspended for the TikTok incident. He lost a total of 6 points, 3 points for each game.
Okay.
Sit with you, MG, that this off-field indiscretion, nothing to do with his play on the field, could cost Nathan Cleary a Dally M medal? How do you feel about that?
Oh, look, rules are rules. If they're the rules, everyone's got to abide by them, unfortunately, for Nathan. But as I just said, I think the last 2 games he's played, he's been man of the match anyway, so he's back up to 11. He's still probably in the top 3 or 4 at the moment, I think. I know it seems a big deal at the moment, but I don't think it is a big deal because I think if he keeps playing the way he is, I think he'll probably win it.
All right, let's move along to another team, the Newcastle Knights. Now, the curse of the Newcastle Knights, number 9.
I told you, don't put that jersey near you. They should just swap the 9 for a 20.
Chris Randall, he stepped into the breach that's already been vacated by Jaden Brayley's knee injury, Andrew McCulloch.
It's the new Bermuda Triangle. No one's going near it.
And Connor Watson. And he gets knocked out inside the first 35 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Phoenix Crossland stepped into it bravely.
Yeah, he did.
So we'll keep an eye on that one tomorrow. This is what I wanted to play you though, MG. This is Adam O'Brien, the Knights coach, speaking to the media after the loss to the Storm.
I couldn't be more proud of them this week. You know, I was really disappointed last week with our attitude, but in terms of that, I've gone full scale the other way. I haven't built it on excuses or given them an out, but there's 7 guys out of the team. You take 7 out of any team, take 7 players out of a top 4 team and ask them to play another top 4. I don't know if you'll get a more courageous effort than what we got.
Yeah, it's sobering, isn't it, from a coach? You know, they were good, the Knights. Unfortunately, they come up against a Storm. And it is worrying, but for the Knights, they are sliding down that ladder pretty quickly. At one stage, they were level with Panthers, it seemed like yesterday. Now they're clinging on the 7th spot. But when Adam O'Brien comes out openly and says that about his rugby league team, if I'm a player of his, I'm loving that. I'm loving every single thing he's saying about it. I'm loving it.
And their fate is still very much in their own hands. The softness of their run home. They've got a much softer draw than some of the other teams that are going to be competing for those final spots in the 8. I think the Knights should hang on if they're up to it. But
I think they will.
Now, lastly, MG, the other thing we want to talk about, you have fallen in love with an innovation in the NRL this year.
Yeah, the play alone. I think it's fantastic. I think it's obviously the poster boy is Harry Grant, who wouldn't have been playing if it wasn't for this the loan system.
Can you imagine that? We would be in an NRL world that doesn't have Harry Grant as a part of it.
And that's the reason we should keep it. I just think it's a real good way to improve the calibre of footy right across the land. Look, Jack Hetherington at the moment, oh my good, he's just played himself into so much form playing for the Warriors that I think Penrith can't wait to get him back. And it's a win-win for everybody. Everyone wins in this. The Tigers, imagine the Tigers without Harry Grant. We spoke about that a bit earlier. you know, at the moment he is the Tigers, and yep. he's the team. He's the bloke who's going back to the Storm next year. So yeah, look, I love the loan system, Liam, and I think it's something we should really look at keeping in our game.
All right. Well, something else we need to look at is the other sport from the weekend. There was plenty we've got to get to, including my mate, and I feel like you're slowly coming around to him, Nick Kyrgios. He's been up to his old tricks. We'll get to that next. This is the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Liam Flanagan here. MG, we're almost done for a Monday. A lot of rugby league to get through on a Monday. But there was some other sport that happened over the weekend we need to touch on, so we do this.
Has MG been paying attention?
At some point, I feel like we'll get sued for that opener, but...
Oh, really? We just say, you know what, we're a random show. We didn't know that was yours.
We thought producer Charlie had made that up off his own bat.
Well done, Charlie. Well done, mate.
All right, MG. First one, you know how this works. I'll play you a little bit of audio. You've got to tell me the sport and the story.
He's feeling... He felt his hamstring.
He did.
That sounds like an AFL commentary team.
It is.
Someone got dacked.
No. Talking about Toby Green, the bloke who a week ago everyone was calling the best player, most watchable player in the comp, looks like he's going to be on the sidelines for a couple of weeks. He suffered a hamstring strain in the Giants win over the Suns, so he looks like he'll miss at least this week's game against the Bombers and probably the Derby, which is happening in Perth against the Swans.
Wow.
So not good news for Toby Green, but good news for the Giants as they just starting to waken from this slumber.
Yes, they are.
They're starting to peak towards the right end of the season.
I really like their coach. I think Cameron's really a bloke if you're playing under him, you'd really be inspired by him.
Well,
Cameron.
They do as well, MG. They've just signed middle of last week. They announced a new two-year deal. So yep. Leon is sticking around in the Harbour City for a couple more years, which is great news.
I knew that.
All right, next one.
Left puncture. It's more than a puncture.
Yes, Lewis Hamilton. He said that he almost had a heart attack in the last lap of the British Open when one of his tires went flat.
And this is the final lap of this race, and Hamilton's out in front. He had a 30-second lead on Max Verstappen from Red Bull, and then all of a sudden he gets the message over the radio, basically, if you read the subtext, your car's knackered.
Yeah, I know.
Slow down. And like it's like when you pop your car in neutral when you're rolling down a hill to save petrol. He had to do that. He got there, though. Won his seventh British Grand Prix on his home track. And good result for Ricciardo. Equals his best result in the Renault. Came fourth, just missed the podium.
We want to get on the podium, Daniel. Come on, mate.
Well, just finish this season with Renault and get to McLaren, and then we'll start winning things.
We'll start rooting for him then.
All right, MG. And we've got time for one more. One of our favourites.
Dear Tennis, let's take a breath here and remember what's important.
Wow. Okay, just when you think it's safe to go back in the water... Our mate Nick.
I will not be playing this year at the US Open. It hurts me at my core not to be out there competing in one of the sport's greatest arenas. But I'm sitting out for the people, for my Aussies, for the hundreds and thousands of Americans who have lost their lives. For all of you, it's my decision, like it or not.
Yes, Nick Kyrgios has announced that he will not be competing in this year's US Open, which is scheduled to start at the end of the month. But it's riled some people, MG.
Well, first of all, Nick's been a revelation over the last few months with his stance on other tennis players who are doing the wrong thing. This one was a prepared statement, which kind of doesn't go down his avenue, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's a shoot from the hit kind of guy.
Yes.
I like the sentiment, but the bit that's riled people is where he said, but tennis players, you have to act in the interests of each other and work together. You can't be dancing on tables, money grabbing your way around Europe, or trying to make a quick buck hosting the next exhibition. That's just so selfish.
Oh, wow.
He's aiming that at Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. He's pulled back the barrow. The barrel and arrow, and he's pointed it right at Novak's eyes. He says, "There you go, right between them." I saw this today, and I've been watching a lot of things that Nick's been doing in the last few months, as I said, and I have actually loved it. Today wasn't Nick's best, I don't think, because it wasn't from the heart. Is anyone going to be too bothered by it if he doesn't go to the US Open?
He's a big draw card.
I don't think fellow players will, put it that way, but I would like to see him play. But I understand his stance. I honestly wouldn't be going.
I would pay good money to go to an exhibition event where it's Djokovic v. Kyrgios, and they're both mic'd up for the entire. I want to know. I want to hear it all.
Make it happen, Liam, please.
Yeah, okay, I'll get onto it.
Thanks, mate.
MG, you've been paying pretty good attention, but that is our show done for you Monday tomorrow. Don't forget Instagram Live just after 4 o'clock when all the teams drop for round 13 at Rush Hour Triple M. We'll be on there as the teams drop. But otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you all for your ears. He's Liam, I'm MG, and wherever you are, stay random.